Welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. Our guest author is Father William J. Slattery, PhD. His new work, Enchanted by Eternity, Recapturing the Wonder of the Catholic Worldview, published by our friends at OSV and available naturally through our EWTN religious catalog, EWTNRC.com, for all things Catholic. Good to see you again, Father.
Great to see you, Doug.
And of course, people would have seen you before on the network and recently on with Father Mitch talking about a similar topic. So what are you doing these days? Why don't you tell us a little bit of some of the excitement that's happening in your own life?
Well, a lot of excitement. I'm a professor at Steubenville, but especially I am chaplain at an absolutely fascinating place called Damascus. Damascus is located near Columbus, Ohio. It's a 500-acre estate through which some approximately 30,000, mostly youth, go through each year on retreats and summer camps. It is run by 150 staff and volunteers. These people are absolutely lightning in a bottle. They are, when the Holy Spirit meets zero sleep, and the result is people who absolutely energize and enchant all those who pass through the retreat center with the Catholic vision of reality.
So there's hope for the youth.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Every week at Damascus, there are approximately five youth who go on stage after their retreat to announce that they are converting to Catholicism or reverting to Catholicism. And we have approximately, from the surveys that are carried out at the end of each retreat and summer camp, approximately 98% of the students who attend retreats there affirm their belief in the real presence.
Right.
And that is extraordinary when you think that the national average is 27%.
Right.
And then 51% of the students who attend there say that they are open to priesthood or consecrated life as a result of their stay.
Is there one thing that you think has the biggest impact on these people?
It is the fact that these young people who are volunteers at the camp or who are staff members are completely convinced of Catholicism without any reservations. There's no ifs and buts. They accept Catholicism en bloc.
Okay. Now, in the foreword, you actually have a famous actor, Mark Wahlberg, who says that himself, "Hey, guys, look at this. This just might work for you, too. That's the way I feel about Catholicism." He says, "Once I started doing the right thing, good things started to happen in my life. And if it had not been for that difficult start in my life, I might have never discovered my faith and all the wonderful blessings that comes with believing." That's not an unusual story. A lot of people discover the truth because of the tough times they've had, right?
And that is why I think we are witnessing right now massive conversion numbers of Gen Z to Catholicism. In the past 4 years, the RCIA programs in dioceses throughout the United States have seen large numbers of young people entering. And the more we actually become proactive in reaching out to these young people, the more we will see increasingly large numbers converting.
He also said, "The ideas in this book resonate with the way I feel about the Catholic faith. This book slam dunks why I'm proud to be a Catholic." You're allowed to be proud to be a Catholic anymore? Isn't that lack of humility or something? Or triumphalism or something along those lines?
We Catholics find it very hard to be modest because there's very little to be modest about in Catholicism.
Because he says real Catholicism is a tough world-improving movement that's about both the forever life and the urgency to make this life the best possible for everyone. Why do you think we're not hearing that, you know, coming out of parishes or even, let's say, diocesan offices?
I think we have become perhaps a little too humble. I think we have forgotten our history, that once upon a time, we Catholics created a civilization. That civilization was the original form of Western civilization. We called it Christendom. Now, Christendom wasn't perfect. But in my studies for this book, I have discovered that an increasing number of atheist, agnostic, Protestant, Jewish intellectuals are absolutely fascinated by many of the features of Christendom. One very concrete example. Sociologists have discovered that at the high point of Christendom in the 13th century, the suicide levels were next to zero. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Think about that. When people had such poor levels of medical science, when they suffered in tremendous physical pain and so on and so forth, nevertheless, they were so satisfied mm-hmm. with the Catholic vision of reality that suicide was not an option. Think of the fact that nowadays, according to sociological polls, for the age group between 10 and 14 years of age in the United States, the second largest killer is suicide.
Right, yeah, it's horrible. Well, do you think also, I mean, at one point it was clearly taught by the church, you know, that if you committed suicide, you had a high risk of going to hell. So mm-hmm, I think, mm-hmm. and since people actually believed in hell, that was also a reason that maybe I wasn't going to take my life.
I remember once giving spiritual exercises to a group of youth, and one of the youth came to me and said, "Father, I thought about committing suicide, and you know the one thing that stopped me doing it?" I said, "No, I have no idea." He said, "I realized that I would end up in hell if I did so."
Right. Exactly. And it doesn't mean, obviously, that there aren't multiple reasons for people's issues today, and we understand those better.
Absolutely, Doug, because many times I would say the vast majority these days of people who commit suicide, tragically, it's because they are under tremendous stress levels, depression levels.
Right.
That are
were they really not
incredible.
Making an informed decision?
No, not an informed.
Right,
no,
exactly.
No way. Yes.
Now you talk about here the idea we live in a rousing and a tumultuous epoch, an unprecedented opportunity for us Catholics to begin the long march through institutions. Now that's a phrase that was used against us, basically, or against mm-hmm. Christendom.
Yes.
You know, kind of the long march through institutions from a socialist kind of perspective or a secular perspective. So are you talking about kind of like a crusade, a reconquering of these institutions?
I'm talking about the fact that we Catholics, like our beloved Jewish forefathers, we have the mission, our very identity is mm-hmm. to be world changers. When mm-hmm. we say in the Our Father, "Your kingdom come." Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a spirituality. We're not talking about a faith. We're talking about the fact that we are called to change the world around us, to make civilization a civilization in which human beings can flourish, mm-hmm. every human being. And that is what we once did in Christendom.
Right. Well, you say here, whether we realize it or not, we Catholics have been deeply influenced by modernity's failed worldview. By worldview, I mean the eyes through which we all see reality. And you really make the point that Catholicism is reality.
Yes. Yes, it is. We really have, since the 16th century, mm. we've begun to think of Catholicism as something merely inside our mind, as something about my personal relationship with God, mm-hmm. and simply about getting out of this world eventually and getting saved to heaven. Mm-hmm. But the biblical worldview is all about the kingdom of God coming to earth. Mm-hmm. And that means that we are called every day to make micro changes and macro changes according to our opportunities in the world around us. Mm-hmm. And that is why Catholics were creators, mm-hmm. creators for centuries. That is why Catholicism brought to birth the modern scientific mindset. Mm-hmm. Not every scientific discovery, but the scientific yeah. mindset that enabled the technology
right, the university
of today.
System.
And the university system
right.
and modern hospitals.
Right.
The first universal education was brought into existence by Catholics under Charlemagne the Great, mm-hmm. and so on.
Right. Now, what's interesting, you say the 18th century is the turning point of world history. What happened then?
Due to the influence of Newtonian physics, mm-hmm. we began to think of the world, the universe, as a vast machine. And because we discovered the laws of physics, we began to think that the universe could be explained as a machine in which everything functions perfectly and therefore has no need of the creator. And therefore, we exiled the creator from being active inside the universe. We began to think of heaven as utterly separated from earth, mm-hmm. whereas in the biblical worldview, heaven and earth form a bipartite universe in which heaven is very close to Earth and is constantly invading Earth with its energies, with its blueprints.
Right.
That heaven provides us like the platonic forms, the ideals, the standards, for example, of what a human being should be.
So it's more dualistic now.
Now it's dual, you said it. That's the perfect word.
Right.
It's, there is a dualism.
Right.
A dualism, whereby we have separated, with dualisms in everything, we have separated our reason from faith.
Mm-hmm.
We have separated our left brain, analytic thinking, from our right brain, intuitive, imaginative, creative thinking. We have separated the individual from community and society. We have separated ourselves from our roots. Ask the vast majority of kids these days mm-hmm. about history. They have no clue. And as a result, they don't know who they are.
Now, you talk about the idea of patterns and mindset patterns. You talk about postmodern revolution, the Great Reset, and you talk about some specialization, which I can't pronounce.
Oh,
Is that athletic logic or something?
I am an epistemologist. An epistemologist is basically a fancy word for reality check
okay.
engineer. So this is my
A-L-E-T-H-I-C. How's
yes,
that?
Yes, I'm elithic. That
okay.
is my specialization within epistemology.
Now, how'd you end up with the Great Reset? That sounds like a real political thing we dealt with culturally in the last 5 years.
You see, the Great Reset, all the intellectuals at the present moment, whether right-wing or left-wing,
mm-hmm.
are all analyzing how to bring about a great reset of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because the world as we know it up to now, which we call the modern world, has crashed.
Mm-hmm.
It has crashed because, this is visible, in the unprecedented dissatisfaction of the masses of people with contemporary lifestyle. The inability, the stress levels, depression levels, suicide levels, the economic pressures, the inability to focus psychologically, all of these, along with the economic and political problems and the growth of technology, of AI and so on, mm-hmm. all indicate we need a new type of world order.
Okay.
So everybody is looking, all these intellectuals in think tanks like at Davos in Switzerland.
Right.
And also
the World Economic Forum.
Yes, and also the intellectuals with whom you are very familiar because you did a magnificent documentary some years ago on one of its leaders, and that is on Saul Alinsky, who wrote Rules for Radicals.
Yes, right.
He is the great mentor Barack Obama and of Hillary Clinton, who studied him while she was at Wellesley.
And you talk about that in the book, and you talk about the Frankfurt School in here, too.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So everybody should watch that documentary.
Right,
of yours.
I highly agree with you. What was the name of it again? Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. That should be a must for everybody.
Right. You mentioned this postmodern to play off what you said. Intellectuals agree with Max Weber, the father of modern sociology, that the history of the modern era has been marked by the progressive disenchantment of the world. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, the disenchantment of the world, because of the fact that we think the universe is simply a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And because we think everything is the result of blind, mindless evolution, we think of ourselves as Dawkins, the atheist scientist, once expressed it, we think of ourselves, the human race, as mere, to use his words, mere chemical scum
mm-hmm.
on an insignificant planet at the edge of a galactic system which is of no importance within the vast universe.
Mm-hmm.
When you have that mindset, when you look up at the stars, then you are terrified of reality. You find it utterly unenchanting, and you feel everything as purposeless,
mm-hmm.
meaningless. Whereas when our ancestors looked up at the sky, they were enchanted
right.
because they saw purpose.
We see parts, not the whole.
Yes.
As you talk
That's
about,
exactly, yes.
That.
Yes.
Yes.
Animistic kind of view of,
that's right.
of things.
That's right.
You also point out here, and it's interesting, you talk about Marcuse, and you even have Angela Davis, who just left us recently, under a different name, of course, after living in Cuba. You say the outcome of critical theory is suspicion of Western civilization, history, values, and contemporary society. I think we see that. We are skeptical of the notion of truth and the possibility of certainty, imagining them to be the source of evil. We live in what Joseph Ratzinger called the dictatorship of relativism. You go on to say, the outcome is that we now think about life as conflict. The new is always better than the old. Medieval is the worst of all societies, and the state is the prime source of solutions to social problems and have rights even over the family. The only enemies are those who insist that change must be measured by the standards of the identity of man and a traditional understanding of marriage and family. That sums it up.
It certainly does, yes. Certainly does.
Right.
But the great thing is that we are now living at the most fantastic opportunity in 500 years for us Catholics to reassert Catholicism as the great solution for building a new type of civilization, a new type of world order. And that is because Catholicism has what all the other right-wing and left-wing groups do not have. We have a correct understanding of man, an anthropology. We have a correct understanding of the big picture. Because Catholicism is unique in all the world's religions because we insist on pushing our reason, our left brain analysis to the utmost, and we insist on pushing our right brain capacity for intuition and reliance on divine revelation and sense of mystery to the utmost. That is a winning combination.
You quote Heisenberg, a Nobel physicist, who says, I'm firmly convinced that we must never judge political movements by their aims, no matter how loudly proclaimed or how sincerely upheld, but only by the means they use to realize these aims. Why did you think that was an important quote?
Because right now, both the right-wing and the left-wing groups that are proposing a new type of world order, a new type of great reset of our society, both sides have valuable elements of solution. For example, both sides affirm that we need to have an ecological civilization. Now, that is absolutely true. But how do we achieve that ecological civilization? Is it going to be by reducing humanity to merely one more element at the level of animals? Or are we going to recognize that human beings are called to be the stewards of creation and are utterly exceptional because we are psychosomatic? Mm-hmm. We have spirit as well as body, and we are destined to act in the image and likeness of the Creator. You see, Catholicism insists that to choose the right means, we have to make everything click. We have to connect everything. We have to connect who man is, what nature is. We have to connect with our roots in history. We have to connect with the ultimate purpose of the universe, which is a transformed universe, what the Bible calls the new heavens and the new earth.
You say here, in talking about in the very beginning, writing a book like this is like being overheard speaking to oneself. We Irish don't like talking about ourselves. That's very true. Otherwise, you're accused of who do you think you are. Why is that?
Give me the question in another way.
Well, so the question is, why is it the Irish in general don't like talking about ourselves?
Well, it's because we Irish, at the end of the day, people may find this hard to believe, they may laugh at this, but we're all sort of shy. We're sort of shy people, you know? But obviously it is necessary. It is necessary to speak out.
Let me ask you also, you say, flashes of insight, you say, growing up amid the last breath of Catholic Ireland in the 1970s, what do you mean, the last breath of Catholic Ireland?
Well, Catholicism, when I was growing up, still was, in many ways, it was the air you breathed. Like when I was 13 years of age, I still remember the Corpus Christi procession through my small town of Dungarvan on the Atlantic coast. The entire town turned out, about 6,000 people, for the procession. Mm-hmm. And I was a member of the scouts, the Boy Scouts, lining the sides of the streets as the priest carried the monstrance through the town. And then at the very end, in the square of Dungarvan, as the monstrance was raised to bless the people, the entire population sank to its knees in adoration. And you could hear a cricket in that moment. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But then also, the entire structure of society was amazingly Catholic. For example, even the working class people in Ireland at that time, they were assured of housing. And every single worker had a house with 3-4 bedrooms and a front garden and a back garden. Nowadays, in the very modern, very wealthy Ireland, it is incredibly difficult for young people to get an apartment, to buy a house.
We're seeing that here in the United States as well, right?
Yes. So what goes wrong? Mm-hmm. You see, in the Catholic Ireland, it was ruled according to Catholic principles that people are what matter. And you organize the economy around people. Mm-hmm. You believe in people, real people. Mm-hmm. And they must be taken care of first of all. That's the difference Catholicism makes.
What is triggering the unregistered levels of anxiety you think we have in society today?
There is a total lack of sense of purpose, especially in kids between 15 and 30 years of age. Mm-hmm. A total lack of sense of purpose. When I say purpose, employers often complain about Gen Z, the young people. They say they come into work and they're very difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. They have all sorts of expectations. But what these employers do not realize is that these young people want to find work that is meaningful.
Right. Okay.
Meaningful. They want to feel that they are as people. That's people. That they are doing work that actually matters.
Not cogs in the wheel.
Cogs in the economic machine.
Okay.
Which is what not only American society, all of Western society has been doing because of industrial Taylorism that began in the 1900s.
Right.
Workers, according to Taylor.
Right. You quote him.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Right.
That has to
change.
They're
just the same as a conveyor belt.
Exactly.
They're no different.
Exactly.
Right.
And people feel that. People feel that. You know, people add in supermarkets, at checkout desks, they're told they have to say X phrase. Would you like a bag, sir? Anything else, sir? 3 or 4 phrases.
Mm-hmm.
And that you look at these good people and you see people who are not allowed to be themselves. They've lost their spontaneity.
Relationships is what's so important you make.
Exactly.
Point,
and
right?
Catholicism is all about relationships
right.
because we do not believe in God. We believe in the Trinity, and the Trinity is a relational God.
Right. Well, let me ask you, why does it matter that Narnia was not a land, and why did you quote the silver chair? Which says that?
Because for the past 400 years, we have been told that the Catholic vision of the final purpose of the universe, which is a transformed universe, a transformed planet Earth, what the Bible calls the new heavens and the new earth, that all of that vision is a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
A mirage. And we've been told instead that we should be seeking either to do what the left-wingers, the Marxists, Leninists have urged us to do, to create a classless society by means of sheer violence, or we have been told that the only other option is the right-wing capitalist society. Now, Catholicism created an economic system called free enterprise economics, which was in effect until the 1600s.
Is that the Adam Smith versus the school of
of Salamanca.
Manca, right.
In the free enterprise system, everybody had the opportunity to start off their little business, mm-hmm. to own their own property, to be full of initiative, mm-hmm. because of the fact that according to Catholic moral theology, heavy taxation by rulers was a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. And rulers in countries like Spain were told that if during crises, during wars, they had to impose heavy taxation, after the war, they had to pay the people back.
I see. Okay. Let me ask you one question. It gets quoted a lot today for Occam's razor, but you're concerned that Occam is a big problem we have. Why?
William Occam belonged to my professional class of people as a PhD. He was an epistemologist. All the problems in our way of looking at reality are due to three epistemologists, Occam, Descartes, and Kant. Mm-hmm. They led us in the modern world to think that we do not know reality. We only know our ideas of reality. Mm-hmm. The only reality we know are the mathematically verifiable features of things, mm-hmm. which is used in science. So as a result, we began to think that, for example, human beings, mm-hmm. we cannot really know a human being. We can only know how the brain works. We can only know how a person functions in the workplace. And we began to forget the mystery of mm-hmm. the human being, the mystery of the other person.
Right. The mystery that is enchanted by eternity. We're just out of time, so much to talk about. We didn't even capture any of it, but it's Father William J. Slattery, PhD, Enchanted by Eternity, recapturing the wonder of the Catholic worldview. It's a great view. We should take it on. Published by our Sunday Visitor, naturally available through our EWTN Religious Catalog. I'm Doug Keck. This is Bookmark. We'll see you next time. Thanks.